Welcome, Hog fans, into the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton with Whole Hog Sports. I'm here with Scotty Borlon, also of Whole Hog Sports. How you doing today, Scotty?
When I pulled in, I had my first scare of my trip to El Paso. Yeah? I normally put my camera bag in the back seat.
Oh, boy.
And I just out of habit went and opened the back door to my car and didn't see it. And I'm like, oh, my God, what did I do? So I didn't have time to do this and go back home.
No, you'd miss your flight.
Get the XNA.
Scotty has a flight leaving at about 12:30 today for El Paso.
Yeah, I'll get out there probably close to 4 their time, 5 our time.
Yeah.
I'm nervous, excited. Just I want to get my bearings when I get there. I've got to rent a car because I didn't figure they'd let me Uber onto the base.
Right.
Figured that would work out well. But
gonna go with a midsize.
Coupe? I think I got a Ford Focus. It was the cheapest thing. I wanted to get like a Nissan Frontiers. That's what I drove in college. Mm-hmm. That was like it's almost $20 more a day. And
yeah, if you're just by yourself, you can't need all that.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd make me miss my truck too much too. And I'd be in some trouble.
Well, Arkansas officially starts its season tomorrow in El Paso. They're playing Texas. I think Arkansas is technically the visiting team, but it's a neutral site. It's at Fort Bliss. It's Army base out in El Paso. Scotty's going, and you have you did a scouting report on Texas. What do you got for us?
I went back and listened to Shaka Smart's press conference from Monday. You know, Texas played Eastern Illinois in their opener on Tuesday, and they won by 12. They didn't have arguably their best player, probably their best player for sure. Definitely their most experienced. Kerwin Roach, the point guard, he's pretty electric. And you know, there wasn't a whole lot of film or just a whole lot of video I could find on Texas. I was kind of wanting to do like one of those 4-point play columns like I did last year for some games, just kind of previewing Texas. But the Longhorn Network's kind of, unless you have that, you're kind of out of luck.
Right.
But there were some highlights of Kerwin Roach, and one thing I remember just not even from watching that, but from last year, they played in the PK-80 with Arkansas.
Right.
Last year they played Duke in their first game, I think, and Kerwin Roach just absolutely monstered somebody at the rim. Like, he's a pretty explosive guy.
He's a senior, right?
Yeah, he's one of their seniors. He was suspended for their first game, and Shaka Smart said that suspension was based on something that happened months ago. Mm. And obviously, I mean, sit him out the first couple of exhibitions and then the first real game that matters, and he'll be back Friday night against Arkansas. And there's several guys. Like Jericho Sims is a forward that is it's pretty interesting to me. Shaka on that press conference said he's pretty capable of some highlight plays and does some really impressive things around the rim. You know, last year I think he was, let's see, yeah, he's a sophomore, so Jericho was backing up Mo Bamba last year. Yeah, for sure. So when I think what they're looking for out of him is some consistency. Last year he did that a little bit when Mo came off the floor. They've got several guys. They've got a 6'11 freshman named Jackson Hayes, who's probably, Shaka said, has rebounded in practice as well as any of their front court players. I mean, he's 6'11", so he'll give you some size and some length.
Might be the guy that's matched up against Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, probably. Potentially. For sure. Yeah, Jericho, for sure. And then they got a kid, I think Mike called him the Dylan kid the other day, and I was looking at the roster. I was like, I don't see anybody whose last name is Dylan, but Dylan's his first name. Osetkowski is his last name, so I don't think Mike wanted to try to hurdle over that name.
Those Polish names can be pretty tough sometimes.
So Dylan Osetkowski, he's a 6'9 senior, so he's another – he started all 34 of Texas' games last year, so he's got some experience. He's their leading returning scorer. I think outside of Andrew Jones, who I think about 11 months ago got diagnosed with leukemia.
Right.
He's been a pretty interesting story to follow. He only played 10 games last year. He came back. I think he had a point, a rebound, an assist, and a steal in their opener against Eastern Illinois. They kind of tried to just kind of ease him in. Shaka didn't really want to make like a huge deal of his return. And I was reading on the Austin American Statesman website yesterday, just kind of trying to figure out what happened with Texas while they only won by 12 points. Like, it was pretty obvious that, I mean, you get Kerwin Roach in that game that they're probably going to blow the brakes off of Eastern Illinois. But they really, really tried to ease Andrew Jones back in that game. And Texas fans, Shaka snuck him in like at the under 12 media timeout, I think. And he checked in. I don't think when maybe there was a lull in the crowd or whatever. And then once they got back to playing, I think the crowd realized who was out there and they gave him a pretty cool standing ovation. So that was neat. He's been we've got a story on our site about that. So if you don't know much about him, just go check him out. And then a couple of other guys, Gerald Liddell, he's a 6'8 freshman forward. He played AAU basketball with Reggie Chaney on Mo Williams's RM5 team. So there's some familiarity there. So that could be interesting to watch. And then Courtney Ramey's another one of Texas's guards that I think Missouri was in, was a finalist to get him. And Mike even said on Tuesday. Yeah, Mike said that he's pretty familiar with Courtney Ramey. I think they recruited him a little bit out of high school. He's a St. Louis area kid. I think Mike likes to at least check out kids that are kind of regional talent. So he was another name. And then Matt Coleman, I think he's probably going to be your starting guard, maybe alongside Kerwin Roach. Matt Coleman's a 6'2 sophomore. He started every game last year, averaged 10 points a game. They're asking a lot out of Matt Coleman, probably more so than any other guy on their team, Shaka said. And they think he's probably got the best capacity of anyone on the team as far as like your ceiling goes. They're challenging him to not be so nice. Like, I think sometimes he can be a little bit passive and not look for his shot and maybe look for others a little bit too much. And I think Shaka, he said it kind of as a compliment, but I don't know how you take it. Shaka called him a man of the people, which I don't know exactly what that means, but I think they're just challenging him to be more aggressive and like I said, not be so passive. So that's kind of a rundown. You know, defensively in their first couple exhibition games, Shaka said they were pretty, quote, pretty darn good, except for a 3 or 4 minute stretch of their first scrimmage and nowhere good enough in their second. And then offensively, they were so-so in the first and pretty good to really good in the second. They didn't shoot the lights out, I don't think, in their opener. You don't have your whole team. It's kind of hard to get everything rolling in your first game. But I'm really excited to see. Have you seen the pictures that ESPN Events tweeted out? I think Whole Hog Twitter, I think Matt retweeted that. It looks like they're playing in the Hyper building.
Oh, I did see that, the little bleachers.
Yeah, I did see that. So it's going to be a setting. Yeah, exactly. That's what I called it when I was talking to Mike the other day.
Looks like it could get pretty loud in there. If things get rolling for either.
For sure, it could be rowdy.
Well, it sounds like Kerwin Roach is the best player for Texas. Who do you think is going to be matched up against him for Arkansas? You think Isaiah? Or
I would guess. I mean, if Kerwin's their Texas starting point guard, I would imagine Jalen Harris. I mean, you put quick on quick. That's going to really test Jalen's defensive mindset early on, because Kerwin likes to attack and he's pretty aggressive. I think Jalen's probably going to be your matchup there, and we'll see who we figure Isaiah Joe will start. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see. Who he gets matched up on. There's lots of interesting matchups in this one. Like, outside of, like, Jackson Hayes is Texas's tallest guy, and Gafford's 6'10", 6'11", too. So you wonder if they'll rotate the Dylan kid or Jericho Sims and maybe Jackson Hayes on him. And I'm sure he'll see plenty of bodies thrown at him.
Speaking of Daniel Gafford and different lineup combinations, we had a question on the Whole Hog Sports Basketball Insider message board from user Ken Keshi. He asked, how do you see the front court rotations playing out? Generally seeing Daniel and Adriel playing together, backed up by Reggie and Gabe, with a bit of mixing. One of the things that I was thinking about, because right now it's Daniel Gafford and Adriel, two veterans on the team in the front court together. But I think as the season goes on, you might see Mike kind of split up that leadership as he's done in the past, because as we saw, when Portis and Kingsley were here, you hardly ever saw them on the floor together because their backups were just not really good enough
to
be on the court together at the same time. So what I was thinking when I read this question, I kind of thought that maybe further along in the season, you'd probably see some combos like Daniel Gafford and Reggie Chaney out there together, and then to sub, you'd see Adriel and Gabe out there together, just to kind of split up Gafford and Bailey.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. And I think when I looked at this question, you break it down into your best group. Right now, I think your best group, like if you want some experience, I think, on the floor, at least to start games and just kind of get a feel for I think Mike's still getting a feel for his rotations.
Yeah.
Like you can experiment with combinations in the front court and back court in those exhibition games, but what really do you learn for what exactly do you learn from it when you're playing Tusculum and Southwest right. Baptist, you know? So I think Daniel and Adrio, I think that's a good place to start. And we'll see how Adrio plays. Like, we got the question, I think, last week, do we think Adrio can turn into a productive small forward? I don't know if we've really seen it.
Jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's year three. Needs to get more consistent with his mid-range jump shot. That's where he can be really good. And he's pretty good attacking the offensive glass, too. And those energy plays, doing the little things, that's pretty big. But Reggie and Gabe, it'd be interesting to see if Mike runs with those two guys. That's a guy who's playing his first college game, right. And a guy who didn't play a whole lot last year, thrown into the middle of a rivalry game, season opener, in a unique setting. That could be a lot for them. I figure we will see a lot of staggering, like with Daniel, and I think Daniel and Reggie will get a lot of run together. Those guys really get after it on the glass. I think if you're going strictly a defensive lineup in your front court, maybe you throw Daniel and Gabe in there. I harp a lot on Gabe on his offensive game, but defensively he's been pretty solid. Like, he's a guy he'll take a charge even if his tailbone's hurting.
Yeah.
So I think, like, I don't know if we saw Gabe and Adrio play together just a whole lot. I think I remember seeing that lineup out there a little bit. That's really interesting. It's not a very offensive lineup. And I think Mike's going to be counting on those guys to get stops whenever they are on the floor. And Daniel and Reggie will be your little bit more offensive front court group. And then those guys are really going to crash the glass. So I think you'll see out of those combinations right there, I think you'll see Daniel and Reggie probably more so than any other.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty solid rotation, I think. Reggie Chaney kind of started off slow in the red-white game, didn't really have an impressive showing. But then in the exhibitions, the switch kind of flipped, and he really turned it on and had some pretty impressive moments.
Yeah, and he had 13 and 10, and I think, in that first exhibition. The thing with Reggie, for me, is – He had a pretty solid first exhibition game, 13 and 10. Like I said, he had 3 turnovers. Second game, he had 4 points and 5 turnovers. Mm. And some of those turnovers are just kind of silly. Like, he's catching out on the perimeter, and he's got happy feet. I know he stepped on the sideline once.
Yeah.
And then I think he got called for traveling twice just because he's didn't want to pull the trigger on the mid range shot. He wanted to attack the glass, but he's got to have his feet settled.
Yeah.
And so I mean, the game will continue to slow down for him, but that might be the only thing that Mike doesn't like about Reggie right now, probably. You know, I think somebody asked on the board last night after I posted my story on Reggie, just what kind of a shooter is he? I think he was 0-for-6 outside the painted area in the red white game, and then I think he was 0-for-1 against Tusculum, and then 2-for-2 on mid range jump shots in the second exhibition. So, I mean, I think he could be really dangerous at the, at the pinch post areas, at the elbows and short corners. And obviously, I mean, he'll get just as physical as he is, he'll push some guys out of the way and get offensive rebounds and putbacks. So that'll definitely be a strength for him.
Yeah, still pretty raw. He's got some refining of his game to do. And it's going to be a really, a major test for all these young players. I mean, to play Texas in a neutral site in your very first ever collegiate game, that's rare for Arkansas to play a team like Texas in the season opener, have such a marquee matchup.
I think Bob said it was probably – I think he suggested this to Mike, that it was probably Arkansas's most high-profile season opener since they played UMass when –
Yeah,
think Mark, the 90s. Was it Marcus Camby was still playing for UMass or something? John Calipari was a coach maybe?
Oh, yeah.
That was a long time ago. That was probably before I was born.
Scott is a young buck. We had another question from on the Hulk Sports Basketball Insider board. This was a kind of a fun one, just a hypothetical from user Pigas NV. I wonder if he's from
Nevada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe he'll go to the game.
I mean, his picture, he's got a convertible and he's got some, looks like he's in the middle of the desert somewhere.
I don't have a map of the U.S. in front of me right now, but I think Nevada's closer to El Paso than probably we are right now.
Yeah, maybe so.
So, Pigas NV, get you a pass to go on Fort Bliss to go to the Army base, see if you can get in the crowd, call the Hogs. But his question was, Texas game, Hogs down by one, 10 seconds to go. Who would you rather take the shot? Isaiah Joe from three, Daniel Gafford from close in, or someone else? I had some fun thinking about this one, and I think it's a good question because, and he also put in the Daniel Gafford option, it's a higher percentage shot, but he could get hacked and break the free throws. And
definitely a possibility after what he did in the preseason. I think he was like 6 of 18 at the line.
He has not been a good free throw shooter, and we saw it. I mean, he talked about in the offseason that's something he'd really been working on.
He told Bob at SEC Media Day in Birmingham he wants to be 70%. That's a long ways from 70%.
Wasn't he like 1 of 7 or something?
Yeah, he started 1 of 7 the other night.
Yeah, so I don't know. You know, it's a higher percentage shot, but, yeah, down by one, you got to make both free throws to win the game. That's a tall order, you know, for Daniel Gafford. The other option was Isaiah Joe from three or someone else. I think I'd go with the Isaiah Joe from three just because he's such a sharp shooter and he seems really confident shooting the ball out there. And even though he's a true freshman, you know, I would have confidence in him taking that shot.
Oh, for sure. And then Pigas told us to try to have some fun with this and gave us a little wink. But I really thought about this. And, you know, last year we saw, like, late in games, I think it was maybe the Tennessee game here, which was rowdy as all get out, and then the Missouri game. One thing Arkansas did was put Daniel Gafford in a ball screen and sent him out to set a pick for Daryl Macon or Jalen Barford or somebody, and just put some more pressure like on the back end of whoever's half court defense you're playing. And if you do have a shooter like Isaiah Joe, set him up, like have some off ball action. Like, I'm taking this very seriously, so Mike, write this down. You put Jalen Harris maybe in a ball screen, or send Daniel out to set a ball screen for Jalen, and then have some off-ball stuff going on. Maybe have one of your forwards or maybe the other two guys on the floor setting picks for Isaiah Joe. Let him get open, and then you got options.
Yeah,
you got options. Jalen Harris is a pretty solid finisher, so if he gets if he gets a lane or a driving lane, that's an option. You also might also try to counter what Isaiah Joe's doing, moving off the ball and overreact, and that could leave open Daniel. And if there's so much attention drawn to Daniel, you suck him in, or you suck the defense down to him.
Yeah.
Jalen's got an option, and then Isaiah Joe could, if he runs off the screen, like if your off-ball action's really, if it's solid, then I think you got a pretty good shot with him. I'm going Isaiah.
Yeah.
For three. I mean, made 19 threes in a preseason.
Yeah.
That's pretty hard to argue with.
Yeah, and like we said, until Daniel Gafford can improve his free throw shooting ability, it's kind of a liability there, you know. And Daniel said it. He knows that he hasn't been a very good free throw shooter. And he mentioned in last week's press conference the Hakadan method for opposing defenses. You really don't want to give Texas that you know, option. Or, you know, any other team throughout the season, he's just got to get better at free throw shooting because he is going to get fouled a lot.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It wouldn't surprise me to see him go to the line 8, 9, 10 times
Friday
night. Is there anybody else that you would feel comfortable taking that shot? Is it just Isaiah right now?
Yeah, I think so. I feel like Isaiah is far and away the best shooter on the team.
So
it's him at number one, and there's a drop-off after that.
Those coaches are probably smarter than us, so they'll probably plan on just taking Isaiah out of that scenario just like right away, and then make Jalen Harris, who's not a great shooter, I don't think, like we talked about, I think it was last week or the week before, he made a couple of threes in one of the, I think one of the preseason games, may have been the first exhibition game, but I don't think you necessarily want him taking jump shots. Like if you can, ideally. So I think Isaiah is probably your top option. Mason Jones might be a sneaky next option. Like he's, you know, he didn't exactly, he made a couple of threes the other night and, you know, I wrote that he had an offensive rating of like 142.7 or something like that, which is pretty solid.
Yeah.
But he didn't, I think he was like 2 of 5 from three. He did a really good job getting to the line too. So might be your second best option right there. I think maybe if Texas's defense were to hypothetically take Isaiah Joe away, then maybe you've got another action like off the stagger screens, and maybe you free up Mason for an easy shot, kind of, and maybe serve Isaiah Joe as something of a decoy.
Mason Jones did shoot much better in the Southwest Baptist game than he had in the Tusculum game or the Red
Light
game. He's
looking for a shot too, and I think one of the things I noticed was, I think it was early in the second, he made both of his threes in the first half. And I vividly remember that Arkansas came down and they actually ran a set for him, and he got a wide open three on the right wing, didn't hesitate and knocked it down. And there was another, I think the other three that Mason made, he caught the ball, didn't exactly have a ton of space, like his defender was kind of on him, but quickly just decided he was going to rise up and shoot. And I think just being more decisive. That's what I asked Mike after the game the other night. Did you think he was being more decisive? Because after the first game, Mike thought he was thinking too, thought Mason was thinking too much.
Yeah.
But Mason came in the post game pretty happy. He had a smoothie in his hand that he got from the nutrition lady. And
have we found out what flavor the smoothie was?
I'm not. Like, I was asking around after the game. I was like, what? I think I polled the media room. I was like, what flavor y'all think that was? And it was, I think it might have been strawberry. I should have asked.
Well, I heard Dudley say strawberry banana, but then I heard Bob say banana strawberry. So,
yeah.
And I mean, in some circles, that's the same flavor, but strawberry banana, I think, is more strawberry focused. And, you know, banana strawberry is, you know, the banana is the star of the show. But our fun fact for Texas this week, we're obviously familiar with the University of Texas. The past couple of weeks, we've done a little research on Arkansas's two Division II opponents, so know a little less about them, but we're no stranger to University of Texas. But I did find this little nugget in the notes. Kamaka Hepa, player for Texas, born and raised in Barrow, Alaska. And I actually just recently watched a documentary about Barrow, Alaska. It's the northernmost point in the United States. And the only way to access the town is by plane or by by seaplane. There are no roads leading to the town or leading out of it. And they get so much snow and it gets so cold up there, they can't even pave the roads because they all it just breaks apart.
Wow.
So all the roads are just mud. It's a really small town. But he's actually from there, which was a little baffling. Kamaka Hepa is his
name. Okay. Yeah, he's a six-time freshman forward. He might be another guy that Shaka and his staff throw at Daniel. So that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people from there. It's a pretty tiny town, and Texas actually has a player from there. So that was a little interesting.
How do you find a guy like that?
Yeah, right.
Do you go watch his games and you just fly onto the island or whatever it is?
In a seaplane? Yeah.
Yeah. What is a seaplane?
Well, Arkansas opens its season tomorrow night, 6 o'clock on ESPN against the Texas Longhorns out of Fort Bliss in El Paso. This will be the 155th all-time meeting with the Longhorns. Arkansas leads the series 87-67. They'll be looking to make that 88-67. But until next week, this is the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. We're inside Bud Walton Arena. For Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports. Thanks for listening.